Sue is about to read this wild passage from the book of Acts. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you may remember the very same passage being read. So just in case this morning your mind goes to, gee, I wonder if Sue got the wrong page. Should we tell her we've already done that one? I thought I'd mention it ahead of time, that Sue's not mistaken. And yes, we have already done this one, but thank God it is the way of the Spirit to come around again for us and to us. So no need to be distracted by anything other than what Sue is bringing to us this morning. I'd hate for you to miss it. Let's hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Good morning. I have the pleasure this morning of rereading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young ones shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's word is life.
They were all together in one place. That's what the story invites us to picture, the 11 and others who had found their way into Jesus' good company in those powerful 3 years. There they are together under the same roof. Why? Because that's what Jesus instructed them to do. They were his parting words. Stay put in the city and pray. Pray and wait. Wait and pray till the Spirit comes. You will receive power, he told them, when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So there they were, all together in one place. The intensity of it, the anticipation, the trusting without really knowing what exactly to expect, it could have made of them tight little group of the specially chosen, sealed off in a way, but that's not what happened. The Spirit descended upon them and made of them something else altogether, something wildly available beyond themselves. It began with this ability to communicate across language barriers, as each was given the ability to speak in ways that others from all kinds of places could hear and understand. And that was just the start of it. As the story unfolds past what Sue read this morning, there are all these incidents of healing, of mercy and generosity, a radical sharing of life, as these same previously timid, fearful disciples spill out into the streets, making connections beyond this house where they were gathered all together in one place. Together. It's often where we find God. And when we're struggling to find God, together is often how we hold on. To be sure, there is a place for being together. Just ask Cheryl as she finds herself here at long last this morning, today with us under one roof. But in the way and the wisdom of the Spirit, together is not meant to be an end in itself. Coming together for devotion, for study, for worship, for discernment, for fellowship, these are each indispensable, but not for their own sake. These are the ways that make us ready so that when the Spirit decides to move, we'll be movable. These are the conditions in which the Spirit can come upon us and infuse in us God's spilling over, outward-oriented, life-affirming, barrier-breaking desire. When Pentecost Day began, the disciples were all together in one place. When Pentecost Day ended, the disciples had gone out from their one place. Together, multiplied. New togethers formed. New dreams sparked, new songs arose, new witnesses testified, new generosity flowed. And then there's this. Pentecost isn't a one-time event frozen in the past. We already know that. Pentecost has happened more than once in the life of this very congregation. One of those times that stands out for me, some of you were even here to live it, is that time in the late 60s and 70s when the Spirit blew with a gale force, breathing new life in all kinds of ways into this neighborhood. I just love it the way Marion Woods, a member of the congregation at that time, puts it. I've been asked many times, she says, to try and explain how it happened. I can say, first, that it takes a lot of love and caring. In our instance, this comes from our love of God as we know him in Jesus Christ. And secondly, she says, one must be ready to listen and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit as one hears and recognizes it in others. All I can say is that we were caught up in a movement that simply flowed and there was no stopping it. Is that not Pentecost? I believe it's that very same Spirit that over these last few years has been propelling us further on this journey of wider engagement. For it is the way of the Spirit to move us out. Draw us into widening circles of relationship, to break open our lives to each other that we might discover our hidden wholeness that lies in our being together, like all of us. So today the board is inviting us into a conversation that, at its essence, is really a question of how we might be about conspiring with the Holy Spirit to be about more. More life for us, more life for others. We don't really know where that's going to blow us. But then neither did those first disciples when they gathered together in that one place. And yet without them there, we would not be here. That's mind-blowing. That's the Spirit blowing. And so as Suzanne comes now to preside over our conversation, I invite us into a few minutes of silence in which to just give thanks for the Spirit's presence among us and to attune our bodies, our minds, our spirits to the Spirit's call, stirring within us, moving between us, and beyond us.